Welcome to the Drive Time News Blast. 30 minutes, 50 for subscribers, of news of the day from a perspective of truth, liberty, and justice. This is Monica Perez.
And I'm Brad Binkley.
So I have a couple of things for today. It is World Down Syndrome Day because it's 3/21. It's March 21st. Trisomy 21 is what Down Syndrome is. And of course, I have a son who has Down Syndrome, my oldest. And when I told him this, he told me, it is all day, every day, World Down Syndrome Day. Well, it certainly is around here. You're supposed to show your support by wearing crazy socks or mismatched socks, whatever. He actually does always wear crazy and mismatched socks, and I'm not a big fan of that.
I wear mismatched socks all the time, personally.
Oh, my gosh. I don't like it. I let him get away with it because it is a Down Syndrome thing, but it drives me crazy. And but I had somebody contacted me, a tweep, when lockdown started, saying like he really just was at the end of his rope and he didn't know how much of this he could take. And I've actually gotten back with him a few times and now I can't find his Twitter account. I hope everything's okay with him. But what I had recommended to him, and he said it was a fantastic idea, was if you are feeling down, it is a proven fact that helping other people is lifts you up. And kids with Down syndrome, especially the ones who can communicate a little bit, are very uplifting. It's ironic that it should be called Down syndrome. So I would recommend that if you are feeling, you know, if you know someone who has a child with Down syndrome, what they really need is a couple of hours to themselves. So if you babysat for somebody for just a couple of hours with real vigilance, it could really change like a person's whole week, and it might be good for you too. So that's my World Down Syndrome shout out. And I had a couple of other things.
And they'd probably remember it for the rest of their lives.
They might. They certainly make connections that last a lifetime. I mean, we still keep in touch with the babysitter we had when my son was two. But I have a bunch of meetups coming up as well. I expect, now these are all tentative because I have to find places, but my hope and plan is April 3rd in the Watertown area, Massachusetts, in the evening, April 8th in Rockland County, New York, and April 16th in the Sherman Oaks area. So if you want to do any of those meetups, I'm going to put them on the meetup thing at thepropreport.com. You can email me at thepropagandareportpodcast@gmail.com. That's April 3rd in Massachusetts, April 8th in New York, and April 16th in SoCal. And the last thing I'll say is, I think I have the Locals live stream this week. I'm going to do it on Friday, live at 5 Friday on our Locals channel. And that's it. Hit it.
I did my live stream last Friday, and
yes,
it got a little wild.
Was it wild?
Well, it was wild, in fact, that I was a little exhausted, and I was just a little bit silly. And it was fun, and the people who were there during the live chat, I appreciated it.
I mean, it has more hits than anything we've ever gotten on Locals.
I'm not quite sure how that happened, but
yeah,
I had a great time.
Almost more than we actually have people signed up to Locals.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how that is possible.
I don't either, but I was happy with it, and I appreciate everybody who attended. Okay.
That's actually pinned to the top of the feed. If people want to watch it, it's free.
Yeah, and you get to see how weird I really am if you watch that one. All right. I want to talk about one of the objectives of all this propaganda that we are currently being shelled by and highlight just a couple of quick stories that illustrate this goal and how they measure this goal. So if you listen to the show, you are definitely familiar with the NYIRA testimony, which was false testimony given before Congress back in 1990 by a 15-year-old girl who, through tears, claimed that after the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, she witnessed in a hospital, soldiers came in and ripped babies out of incubators and tossed them on the floor to die so that they could steal those medical devices. The story was made up, and it was later discovered that this 15-year-old was not even there. She was actually the daughter of a Kuwaiti ambassador to the United States. This was not discovered until after George Bush Sr. had cited the testimony publicly and repeatedly as justification for why the U.S. needs to support Kuwait in the Gulf War. So what they did is they won public opinion using this story of babies being tossed on the cold floor of a hospital and dying. This is exactly what's going on right now, and we saw major demonstration of this with Zelensky giving that testimony to Congress the other day. And we have a couple of stories today, or one story today, that was reported multiple times about what is called the Mother's March. Did you hear about the Mother's March? You probably might think of abortion marches or something else when you hear something like Mother's March. But what the Mother's March is, was dozens of protesters gathered in Atlanta and around the country. It wasn't just in Atlanta. I just realized this was actually around the country, so it was a coordinated effort on Saturday to stand in solidarity with Ukraine, with many of them, I would say most of them, looking at the pictures, calling on U.S. and NATO to establish a no-fly zone over the country. Now, a no-fly zone, what we're told, would kind of lead to World War III. It would escalate things badly. And this Mother's March, the protesters, they brought attention to the deaths of babies in the conflict. And if you look at the images in every single city they did this in, you're going to see the same types of images, the same types of signs, the same types of props people were carrying. And what they're carrying are fake baby dolls, or baby dolls, not fake baby dolls, fake babies, wrapped in a blanket, covered in blood. They're carrying dead babies. And they have signs saying, "You're killing all the babies." This is the Naira testimony on steroids, is what we're seeing. And we're seeing the public participate in the propagation of their own minds in doing this.
Did you see, I think Cam had some sites, links to this, where there are literally stages, like sets, in Ukraine. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
Yeah, so there are sets, which is kind of bizarre. And here, it's really driving me crazy, because even at church, they're talking about Ukrainians. I mean, literally, my son's aide texted me something about World Down Syndrome Day, and she put a yellow and a blue heart at the end of her text. And I'm like, are you, which side are you on? The East or the West, the Nazis or the people who have been killed by Nazis for 8 years? Like, what are you talking about?
I wonder if she was aware that it was going to be a yellow and blue heart. She probably was, but you could send a heart and not even realize it shows up as yellow and blue on the other side of a message. It could get to that, because everything I see.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that may be true. Or they could just rearrange the order in the emoji menu.
Yeah, first one that pops
they could
up.
Just put, yeah, they could exactly. just put them in the thing.
I mean, the Falcons traded their quarterback today, and one of their old coaches, his Twitter profile picture is the Ukraine flag. It's everywhere. But listen to these talking points that the people at the rally were saying. I'm sure these were activists, and I'm sure they were given these talking points, but one of them said, "I understand both sides of it, but I think we need a more aggressive posture. This isn't just for Ukraine. This is for democracy." That's basically a repeat of what Zelensky said out of his mouth into the mouths of people on the streets in America. And another one said that they believe that Putin's aspirations go beyond just conquering Ukraine, and that he's evil. He's horrible. He's an invader. So they're saying the same things. And even if these are agitators, then they absolutely are agitators and instigators. They are getting the public who want to be a part of something. They want to jump in. They want to do what they feel to be the right thing, to then follow along with them. We used to deconstruct these indivisible activist trainings. This is this stuff being applied to the Ukraine effort right now. And this is extraordinary. It's an extraordinary achievement and test of these new digital and virtual forms of communication to spread propagated messages around the world in an instant.
I was noticing that whole no-fly zone thing too, and there was an article in The Atlantic from 2013 that talked about, stop asking for a no-fly zone in Syria. If you knew what it really was, what you'd actually, you would translate it by saying that to draw up the plans for a no-fly zone would be to draw up the plans for bombing multiple targets inside Syria, in that case, constantly surveilling Syrian airspace alongside U.S. allies, and shooting down Syrian warplanes and helicopters that try to fly around, perhaps for months. So you start, if Russia is bombing these places, I can see why you would want to shoot them down. I mean, obviously, although I think the entire narrative that we're getting is completely wrong. Like, I think that every single one of the atrocity elements that we've been told about here, from the maternity hospital to the theater to the mall, that's just wrong. And I can tell you a little bit more about that if you're ready. But if you've got more on the no-fly zone, I'll hear.
I got just a little bit more on that. So these people who probably are not familiar with what a no-fly zone is or what the consequences are on the streets calling for basically a World War III. And this is the exact type of effect that propaganda is designed to cause. and is playing out right before our eyes. So the message is broadcast to the nation by Zelensky, by politicians and the media establishment. That message is then picked up by these activists and political organizers around the country who spread that message out on the streets, on the ground, through these protests and demonstrations, making it appear that what Zelensky called for is also what the concerned citizens of America want. And from there, the propaganda message poisons the hearts and minds of the broader public who are won over by it, which gives Congress the public support that they need to escalate the war if that is what they choose to do. As they're infecting the public with this opinion, they measure it as well. They measure where the public sentiment is at the moment so that they can adjust their messages and activity as they go until they get the public to the level of support that they need for the war. And this is where stuff like Pew Research studies come in that measure the opinion of the public on whatever issue or topic is going on right now, which there is one on this subject. And I can tell you about the Pew Research, but I want to hear what you had to say first about the
no-fly. I have a lot of stuff. So if you've got more, keep going.
Yeah, here is what the survey found. I found it interesting to see how people are feeling about it. It said that 3 weeks into the Russian military invasion of Ukraine, nearly half of Americans, 47%, approved of the Biden administration's handling of the Russian invasion, while 4 in 10 disapproved, and 13% said they weren't sure. Specifically, 32% say the U.S. is providing the right amount of support. 42% say they need to be providing more support, so they're going to want to tick that number up even further than
it
already
is. Did you notice who they asked? This is considered to be just a random American sample?
And they do give the breakdowns of Republicans and Democrats, which is also pretty interesting what they found there, which we've talked about. And they say 7% say that we're providing too much support, only 7%. They might have been skewing that a little bit. I think they probably did select the people they asked very carefully. And 1 in 5 said they aren't sure.
First of all, if you're just selecting people who affiliate with a party, you're eliminating the third of society that thinks for itself anyway.
You're eliminating the... Yes, exactly. Yeah, the thinkers in society. Okay, so the Republicans and Democrats have almost identical feelings about the war, apparently. 51% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents and 50% of Democrat and Democrat leaners regard the Russian invasion as a major threat to the U.S. So...
Well, that's why they had to... So the Democrats didn't realize that they are part of the war party, so they had to get their support for this action ginned up in advance by closely tying it to Trump derangement syndrome, which includes Russian election interference and the impeachment call between Zelensky and Trump, where Zelensky was the victim and Trump was the aggressor.
Yeah. And large majorities favor keeping large numbers of U.S. military forces in NATO countries near Ukraine in response to the conflict. At 77% of the people that they asked, and 77% of Democrats and 75% of Republicans have that feeling that they want NATO to continue to encroach upon Russia. And finally, broad public attention to the Russian invasion is they have that now because 7 in 10 adults now report having heard a lot about the Russia invasion compared to 23% who said that they have not read or heard a lot about the military buildup. I'd like to know who those 23% of people are and where they spend their time because I'd like to go wherever they are for
yes,
a little while.
Exactly. I agree. So, yeah, I have been noticing that the narrative is heavily reliant upon atrocity propaganda, like you were saying. So, yes, those pictures. And tell people, I mean, my mother, who's inclined to not believe war propaganda, she said, well, you saw those pictures at the maternity hospital. And I was like, they're fake. She's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, they're fake because if you look at it, it's like very staged looking. And I would say that, you know, Russia said, and I looked this up, their March 7th minutes for the meeting with the UN Security Council, and they said we had evidence which we produced to the UN, and I can't actually find the evidence. I don't know if it even would be in English. I cannot find that, but they say it in the UN, and it was in the UN minutes, that they proved that the maternity hospital had been cleared out by Azov a while back. Okay, so we talked about that. That they were keeping arms and the headquarters there, and that's why they drew a Russian precision strike on that hospital. Similarly, I guess it was soon ago, maybe over the weekend, where there was a mall, I think in Kiev. I think the mall might have been in Kiev, which was a defunct mall that was full of some kind of serious missile technology or, let's see, there it says there was a battery of Ukrainian multiple rocket launcher artillery in this mall. So they blew up the mall. They tell you why they blew up the mall. They did it at night. It was defunct anyway. So, but it looks like they blew up a mall and a hospital. And then the other thing is the theater. So I always think it's really ironic that it's the theater. It's the theater. Well, they said they had nothing to do with that and that Azov blew up the theater itself. And that they have their documents that they did no actions at that place during that time. So these are the three kind of civilian looking strikes that the Russians took that make it look like atrocity. But Russia has some very compelling arguments why it wasn't them. And I'll give you two more reasons why I tend to believe it. One, it makes sense. It makes sense not to bomb civilians for no reason, but to lose world opinion. Obviously, Putin is not trying to lose world opinion or he'd be approaching this differently. And that does explain why they've had such slow progress. They are really taking pains to not attack civilians. And actually, even with the humanitarian corridor that they are now kind of finally securing out of Mariupol, where they're cut off from gas, food, water, in that same March 7th UN meeting, they said that they had a clear recording, which apparently they produced, which showed the Azov battalion or whoever it was, the Ukrainians, saying, if people try to use the humanitarian corridor, shoot at their legs, shoot under like the trucks and stuff to get to their ankles and, you know, to deter them from using the humanitarian corridors. So it looks like it's the Ukrainians who don't want that stuff to happen, although they're blaming it on the Russians. And then, so my one hand is, it's like a false flag. It's not in Russia's interest to do things that make it look bad, but a false flag is just that thing. And that's what I think the stuff is. And then the other reason that I believe TASS, which is the state-run Russian agency, versus CNN is, in my experience, where I actually do have a fair amount of research and evidence about what happened in Ukraine over the past 8 years, CNN is always wrong, always lying. Rarely do they come up with anything that's even remotely true. And then it's serving some purpose. Either they can't avoid it or it can plug in somewhere to their narrative. And the TASS stuff is pretty true. And I would say that actually paradoxically could be expected because TASS does not have the cover of being so-called independent. They know that they're going to have a lot of skepticism, a lot of scrutiny because it's an overt government news organization, whereas CNN acts like they're not. So they can get some benefit of the doubt. They act like they have competition in Fox. But as from your pupil between Republicans and Democrats feeling the exact same way about this, you can be pretty sure that Fox and CNN are not competing for a narrative.
And you're right. The whole debate between the right and left is Joe Biden's incompetence. It's not whether we should be at war or whatever you want to call
Which, just like he's a crazy lunatic or that, you know, Iran is run by nut jobs, when their narrative doesn't hold together logically, which the Russian narrative does, but when your narrative doesn't, whether you're demonizing someone or doing something against your own interests, they always say crazy because the logical explanation would be, oh, these are false flags, or when we did the coup in Ukraine, we meant it, or, you know, like the logical, obvious reason for all this, they cannot own. And so they have to hide behind, and they want to always insulate the party from the actions. So they always do, like Trump too, they did the exact same thing. Like, he's a lunatic, he's emotional, he gets insulted. And the same thing with Biden. He's just crazy. And that way the parties get to say, not my, you know, never Trumper or whatever.
Yeah. A couple of other stories in that same vein. We have these images that are coming out. And the images that are being shown to be false. This one, this time, it was a image that went viral on Facebook. Four images, actually. And they were alongside a claim that a Russian aircraft was shot down by the Ukraine forces. We've heard this before. This is a similar one to the ghost story, the pilot. And the images, apparently, they aren't real. They are recycled images that have been popping up in news stories for years, including reports about an airstrike in Yemen in 2015. And the fact checks actually document, like, four other instances where these exact same images pop up. And that is interesting to me because if you read any propaganda literature from the past 100 years, they talk about and mock, Edward Bernays writes mockingly about this stuff, about how they just recycle the same images over and over again. Babies on bayonets over and over again, whatever, fingers getting cut off, the same exact images, and the public falls for it every time.
That was the Piers Morgan scandal. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Piers Morgan lost his job in the UK a long time ago for using false pictures about Iraq. And when Alex Jones was on his show as a follow-up to the excellent appearance by Larry Pratt about gun rights, Alex Jones was basically jumping up and down Tom Cruise style and yelling at Piers Morgan for having no credibility because he lied that time. But it was really a well-publicized example of that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Nobody disputes it.
Right. And these fact checks, this is what bothers me about this. The Snopes and all the other BS fact checkers are the ones who are, quote, exposing these false images, but they're doing it in a way where it's like they'll introduce it. Images that went viral on Facebook have been shown to be presented out of context. Not false, not blatantly false and recycled, presented out of context to imply that this stuff is actually happening, but these just weren't examples of it. And what this does for them is this gives them credibility. So the fact checkers have no credibility. They shouldn't have credibility. But by exposing these stories, it gives them credibility while not hurting the underlying theme that they're trying to promote. So that kind of sucks. But on top of that story, we see there's a story about NASA getting in on the propaganda game, saying that they have captured through its satellite images the evolution of Ukraine since the beginning of the Russian invasion. So every day we get a story about an image that we see is fake, and here we are supposed to believe that satellite images from NASA are real. And the satellite images show the disappearance of light in the European country as time progresses in the main city since the beginning of the invasion. They say the lights have progressively extinguished in the Ukrainian territory until reaching the situation shown by the NASA worldview, in which the blackout is practically total. So you can see the light dimming, the life going out of the eyes of Ukraine.
Lights going out across Ukraine.
Yes.
That's very war imagery.
Yes, it is.
So I don't know if you noticed this, but today was the beginning of the Supreme Court candidate Ketanji Brown Jackson's confirmation hearings in the Senate. Not to talk about anything other than Ukraine, but yeah, it is in the news. It is the top headline.
You know what I would wish before you go all the way into that story is that she would have been wearing a tie the color of the Ukrainian flag.
Oh, that might show up. It might show up. There could be a subtle little message there as she walks to triumph. I assume she will triumph. Apparently they're going to call into question her record and suggest that she is soft on crime, which is part of the theme. You know, the dialectic right now is big on that. The GOP said that they would refrain from personal attacks, which is very typical of the GOP, especially since the Democrats absolutely don't do that. That whole just Judge Kavanaugh thing was crazy. The episode that I share about Cosby, episode 111 of the Propaganda Report, which is in our feed. You can go to our website. I think you should be able to find it there. It's certainly been in some of our newsletters. I hope that link isn't busted. Dang. But anyway, it is episode 111. And the first half of that episode, the second half was about Bill Cosby. The first half, people were up in arms about Kavanaugh. And I was like, nobody has a right to be a Supreme Court justice. They can treat him however they want in the Senate. And you can take it or leave it. They can take it or leave it. But Bill Cosby is picked off the street and put in jail in violation of an agreement he had with a prosecutor who thought that the case against Bill Cosby was not worth prosecuting, if you really dig into it. But the first half of that was about Kavanaugh. Now, it doesn't matter what Kavanaugh, if you like Kavanaugh or believe the story or whatever, but they were vicious and brutal, and I thought that they were wrong, and I actually thought that the reason they did that against Kavanaugh was to completely distract how he covered up for the Clintons and the Vince Foster murder. That's what I thought that was all about, and I thought his getting onto the Supreme Court was a payback for that. So I thought that was theater, and the GOP was just fine with it. But they are not going to follow suit, which makes me think that they are going to let this gal get confirmed. And it would be hard for them to stop because only a simple majority will be needed. So if the Democrats vote to a man for her, then Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker, and that's that. Yeah. So the confirmation hearing is slated to end on Thursday. They will have outside witnesses testifying, and then a committee will vote on the nomination in the coming weeks, followed by a final vote on the Senate floor.
Very interesting. The only thing that I heard in regards to that was one of the congressmen asking her about her positions or her rulings on child sex offenders. Apparently she was recommending lesser sentences or something like that. That's just what he was saying. I don't know the facts around it, but I thought that was interesting. I think that would be worth exploring because you wouldn't want somebody in there that goes easy on child offenders, in my opinion.
Yeah, but the thing is, she doesn't really have much of a record on constitutional law, which is what's important. If she thinks the Constitution allows sex offenders, then that would be important. But I think that's a big problem with her, is that she really does not have a track record of relevant case law. Now, some people would like that. That's how Trump got elected and Obama got elected, is just this blank slate thing.
Yeah.
And
paper that you call it when you say you
project? Yeah, it's the Doctor Who psychic paper where you just project onto it what you want, and that's what they like with the blank slate. But on the other hand, people do say that Supreme Court justices should not have their minds made up about issues that will come before them. And if anyone were a candidate for having not thought about these issues, it would be her. But my presumption is that she's absolute knee-jerk. She's got some deep state kind of hints to being deep state cooperative, yeah, for me. And the less powerful you are, the less you deserve your position, the more likely you are to be loyal to the person who gave it to you. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's my take on her.
All right. Before we get to our deepest dive of the day, in which Monica reports on an incoming weather system that appears to be taking the shape of yet another perfect political storm, and this one fueled by high gasoline prices, I want to tell you what we're going to talk about in the XR, which is where might the next Russian cyber attack hit, and 8 real-world uses of augmented reality glasses, some a little more scary than others. But before we do that, do us a favor and check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/propagandareport. Patreon is one of the many ways we fund the show, and we do lots of cool and informative stuff on there. In fact, we publish bonus content every single weekday, so regardless of what tier you sign up for, you're getting premium content from us every day during the week. And on top of that exclusive content, you'll get this show, The Drive Time News Blast, Monday through Thursday, and on some Fridays, ad-free. We take the ads out, we remove them for our subscribers, giving you the DNB plus the Premium XR, a full hour of listening with no commercial breaks. You're going to get that regardless of the tier that you sign up for. We also give subscribers premium interviews, early releases, patron-only Q&As, plus you'll have access to the two of us as well as the Propaganda Report Patreon community, which is highly interactive, highly engaging, and quite attractive. You'll get all of this premium content for just $7 a month, and for those thirsty for even more premium content, we have more tiers offering live stream interactive content, shout outs, one-on-one Zoom calls, and our highly popular Zoom roundtables where we bring in experts in subjects like online privacy, homeschooling, living off the grid to share their insights with our Patreon community and have a discussion with us. It's very cool. And finally, some of you might have noticed that some ads have been popping up in our shows of late. You may like some of the ads, you may dislike some of the ads. We don't choose what the ads are. We are upfront about our content, and then if they are okay with our content, then the ad is then placed. They in no way affect our content, but the fact is, we gotta pay the bills, and it helps us to pay the bills if y'all let these ads play through. It'll be at most between 2 and 2.5 minutes. If you compare that to, not even at once, I think it'll be a couple times, maybe before and somewhere in the middle, but if you compare that to when we were on WSB Radio and we did a 3-hour show, that show had 1.5 hours of ads. It was maddening. So this is much better than that. And if you like the show and you do want to support the show, but you don't want to sign up for a subscription or one of our subscription offerings, or you aren't in a position to do that at the moment, this is a way that you can support the show, a very easy way, and help us fund the show by simply letting the ads that you hear play through. And if you ever get tired of them, then you can sign up for one of our subscription offers. So that's a very simple way to really, really, really help us out. We do have to fund the show. Again, most daily news shows have a huge production team and a huge budget. We have neither. So it does help us out if you do allow those ads to play through. Okay, now on to the deepest dive of the day.
Do you remember last week we were talking about the perfect storm of oil and gas prices, and they were talking about Biden's bad policies of restricting the giving out new licenses and just a lot of things. I went through it in a deep dive, and I was talking about how a perfect storm is always, in my mind, just like this irrational, kooky leader, or he's crazy, or he's an egomaniac. If you can't find a rational, causal, plausible explanation for something that's happening, and you see perfect storm where they have to put a bunch of little explanations in there, to me that is an indication that somebody is trying to hide the real backstory here. So it was great. Chris, I think he did it on Twitter, or did he do it? I think it was Patreon. He made a meme. Did you see it?
I loved it. It was great.
So you called me a perfect storm meteorologist, and then he made a meme of me as a weatherman.
It's another perfect storm coming in.
Exactly. So funny. I loved that. I love the memes. It's really funny. So we've been talking about the high price of gas, and it's kind of weird because this is all, the price of gas has been going up for a while now, and to blame it on Putin is kind of strange. And then you'll say, well, there was a bunch of things contributing to it, and then Putin. So that's the same thing for the chip shortage, with food shortages, the global supply chain issues. Like, these are all happening. They were all implausible from the beginning. We have a really well-oiled machine here of all of this stuff. There is no reason for these failures across the board. None. They did the best they could to lock us down, but these failures don't make sense. Then I discover two more things to add to the hopper of the perfect storm for gas prices. Saw an ad, an headline today. Saudi Arabia says it won't bear any responsibility for a shortage of oil supplies. This in the wake of a barrage of attacks by Yemen's Houthi rebels affecting the production in the kingdom, the world's largest oil exporter. Maybe that's true, maybe it's not true. I believe there were attacks, but this is just within days, if I got my timeline right here, of Boris Johnson asking Saudi Arabia to make up for supply shortfalls from OPEC and OPEC Plus. So there was, I guess, a reduction in production during lockdown. Then last year, I think in July, OPEC, which is a bunch of countries, 10, 13 countries, something like that, and OPEC Plus, which are additional oil-producing countries, including Russia, that make side deals with OPEC, they all got together. So that's like 23 countries, something like that, last year. And they said, we're going to increase production 400,000 barrels, I think, a day until, or is it a month? A month. 400,000 barrels a month. That doesn't seem like a lot. But anyway, they're going to increase that until they get to pre-COVID levels of production. Now, for some reason, a lot of these countries are having a hard time fulfilling their quotas. So there's an overall shortfall. They haven't actually increased production by 400,000 a month. And Saudi Arabia, from what I can understand, would be able to make up that shortfall. If it's a, it seemed ambiguous to me whether their agreement allowed them to make up for it so that the total would be 400,000, or if they each got their own assignments. But under these circumstances, it's reasonable to think that Saudi Arabia would bring that up to speed, especially when you've got, I mean, oil prices hit like $140 a barrel recently. So they're just saying no, and then they're adding to their excuse-making this Houthi rebel thing that came out of nowhere. And I just feel like when Boris Johnson went over there to ask him to produce more, I don't believe that either. I think that he asked him to not, you know, they made it look like it, but he went over there in person. He didn't call him up where you could have a record, you could have some surveillance. He asked him in person, so you really never know what they're saying behind the scenes. And I mean, just the idea that they're totally independent of each other is hard to buy.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to buy. It's theater, just like you said earlier.
And the Saudi Arabian thing is so outrageous. Recently, I think it was just Saturday or last Saturday, they had their greatest mass execution in history. They killed 81 people. And it says that it was, they, over half of them were Saudi Shiites. So Saudi citizens who are Shiites, which are not the Sunni, which are like the Wahhabi guys who we are friends with, who had taken part in anti-government protests a decade ago. And this mass execution was criticized in the UK, where Bojo was coming from, after trials that failed to meet due process guarantees were cited as behind these executions. So they hadn't gotten their due process rights. Now, this is 2022. I think up until 2020, Saudi Arabia was maybe even the chair and was certainly sitting on the Human Rights Council of the UN. So they do atrocities that we would use as an excuse to invade or drop bombs on. But when it's our allies or even ourselves, there's nothing. That's why I have no sympathy for the people who had the dumb yellow and blue thing for Ukraine. It's like, where were you for the 20,000 bombs that Obama and Trump more than dropped for years on Syria? For years. How many bombs? And it's almost like they're I'm a little skeptical about this level of cynicism, but I think they're just dropping bombs so that they can buy more bombs.
Right. So they can justify building up more weapons technology. Yeah, it's an example of really mass brainwashing, or the most sophisticated brainwashing communications mechanism in history. This Ukrainian flag thing, the fact that they don't care about stuff like that. And I see that and I roll my eyes at this point. It's almost embarrassing to look at sometimes. Not to say that I don't care that people are getting hurt, because people are getting hurt, and it's sad, but it's sad when anybody gets hurt anywhere, not just one selected location for the purposes of world propaganda. Okay, do we got any shout outs?
Not today. I mean, just all my little things. Shout out to anyone with Down syndrome, anybody who loves someone who has Down syndrome, and look out for my meetups at thepropreport.com.
All right. Fantastic. You guys can find your Drive Time News Blast every weekday afternoon at thepropreport.com or your favorite podcasting platform, the Propaganda Report podcast feed. If you want access to that extra content that I was telling you about, go to patreon.com/propagandareport and check out our tiers there. We will talk to y'all tomorrow or in the DMBXR. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.